Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 20 April 2023, and listen, Financial Survival. Melody took the day off to get some chores caught up on, and I don't mind all trying to fill in for her. That's all I'm going to do is try to fill in for her because I don't have the knowledge she has on metals. I try to learn some things every day, but I'm not that good at that. I just do the best I can and try to bring news to you that's important. Maybe do say some things to encourage you. Maybe give you some information that may help you down the road. But as always, we're going to start with metals and markets. And a couple metals had a good day, a couple metals had a negative day. Gold was up 825 to 2,551. Silver is down 62 to 2,549. Platinum was up 27, folks, to 1,088. Palladium was down 2,480 to 1,594. So up and down she went, but nonetheless, pretty well holding their own. The Dow was down 202 to 33,694. NASDAQ was down 129 to 12,029. S&P was down 36 to 4,118. FTSE was up 0.05% to 7,902. DAX was down 0.62% to 15,795. Hang Seng was up 0.07 to 23,82. Nikkei was up 0.11% to 28,639. USDX was down 0.09 to 101.88. 10-year yield was down 0.057 to 3.545. Oil was down 238 to 77.29. Oil prices, that's good if the price come down, although I promise you they're not going to drop nearly as much and nearly as quickly as they go up. They never do, and they never will. It's called greed. And oil companies last year made record profits. And all I can say is, my friends, everyone's going to make a profit. But some of these corporations go way beyond the what's fair and right. And the oil companies are a couple of them. That's all there is to it. We got a lot of news covered today, so I'm going to get started right away with an article. I think it's very well written. I'm going to read part of it. It's a little lengthy, but I want to read it. It's entitled, Why Gold is a Must-Have During a Banking Crisis. And, folks, we got some news to share. In a banking crisis, I promise you, hasn't even begun yet. It hasn't even begun yet. It's going to get much worse. And I'm not setting dates, but I think over the next couple, 3 months, we're going to see things really start to deteriorate in the banking business. There are many reasons to buy and hold physical gold. The lack of counterparty risk, the diversification, and the hedge against inflation are coming among the top reasons to own the monetary metals. The public is in the early process of figuring out why gold ownership is an absolute must during a banking crisis. Several big banks have already failed. Silicon Valley Bank had nominal assets of $209 billion. Signature Bank of New York failed with nominal assets of $118 billion. These banks become two of the nation's top three failures in history. The only larger one was the ignoramus 2008 failure of the Washington Mutual, which had assets of over $300 billion. Meanwhile, many other banks may be over-leveraged, and despite new liquidity tools created by Federal Reserve, may ultimately be unable to cope with the rush of depositors looking to yank their deposits. The world may also be heading toward negative scenarios as concerns about a global recession and even a global war are rising. Consider for a moment what it could mean to you if your bank closed down. Now, folks, do consider this. I know I have. That's why I keep very little in the bank and nothing in the way of precious assets of mine kept in the bank. What if you were unable to pull cash to go to the grocery store, buy gasoline, or heat your home? Well, what if you were able to get cash but discovered that cash was now nearly worthless? And I'll say this, folks, even if you have a debit card, if the bank closes, a debit card will be worth nothing. Both scenarios are possible and may now be coming more likely. The impetus for holding non-bank forms of money may never have been higher in recent history. Fortunately, doing so is not difficult. Gold is a great substitute for Federal Reserve note dollars, which when it comes to longer-term savings, in fact, holding gold is an upgrade. Gold is valued, traded, and hoarded all over the globe. And central banks have recently been acquiring gold at record pace. Over time, gold goes up and down, and mostly up, while fiat currencies go up and down, and mostly down. It's prudent to diversify away from holding large amounts of Federal Reserve notes or their electronic equivalent. From the ease of transacting standpoint, it's highly practical to hold some dollars, but the risk may outstrip the benefits as you get into larger amounts. Bank fears combined with inflation fears have sparked a major increase in demand for physical gold and silver over the last 6 weeks. Now, folks, let that sink in. A major increase in the last month and a half. Maybe we should take heed of that. Money metals has already been buying volume, has seen buying volume more than double, and it does not seem to be slowing down. Don't let slight delivery delays or paralysis of analysis lead to an action. Those who have acquired a meaningful holding of physical precious metals may sleep easier when the next phase of this ongoing crisis of confidence unfolds. I think that's solid, solid advice. I truly do. I don't know where the dollar is going to go, and it's not going to go up, stay up. We know that. It's going to come to an end. But we keep saying this. If the dollar goes to nothing, the precious metals are still there. Now, everybody said, well, the Bible says you cast them in the street. That's true. There'll come a time when they won't do you good. But there's a hedge, just like you put food back to store for the winter. They won't last forever. But your hedge gets you through the winter. This is a hedge to get you through the upcoming storm and the winter. And if it runs out after that, that's in God's hands. But in the meantime, prepare yourself. This next article is from Michael Snyder and the Economic Forecast. I read this, and I thought this is kind of important, scary news. The title of the article is, I Had to Find Out If This Was True. It appears that the crisis facing auto dealerships is far more dire than any of us thought. Financial institutions are starting to get extremely tight with their money, and that is putting extreme stress on dealers all over the nation. Many of us expected that this would happen, but it seems that things are moving much faster than anyone would have anticipated. Earlier today, I come across a tweet that absolutely floored me. It was posted by a highly respected account known as Car Dealership Guy, and it contained some rather ominous news. Past 10 days have been wild. Capital One shut off all dealer floor plans, a.k.a. inventory lines of credit. USA Auto Sales shut down 39 dealerships after losing its ally floor plan. Wells Fargo laid off all its junior auto loan underwriters and capped future loans. Insanity. Is all this true? I had to find out. So I started digging around, and I discovered that Capital One had indeed decided to completely get out of the floor plan financing business. It's been a weird few years for the car market, and things could get weirder still. As first reported by Twitter user Car Dealership Guy and now confirmed by Automotive News Reports, Capital One is out of the dealer floor plan financing business, and while I realize this may not sound like the sexiest of topics, it could have some interesting effects on the car market. In case you think of homes when you think of the term floor plan, allow me to introduce the way dealers are able to hold massive inventory. Now, folks, this is important. Some of y'all may already know this, some of you maybe don't know a thing about it. I knew a little bit about it. Here's a little secret. Dealerships usually don't pay for every car on their lots. Just like how consumers don't usually buy cars outright. Instead, they take advantage of a form of financing called floor plan financing. Companies that offer this sort of financing give dealers lines of credit to buy vehicles with an interest-free period. If a car in the floor plan financing sells within that period, the dealer takes the customer's money or the customer's lender money and uses some of it to pay off the line of credit. If a car doesn't sell within that period, the dealership gets charged with what has usually been a small fee since credit was nearly free for a decade. This allows a dealership to have a very little money tied up in an inventory despite amassing a huge selection of cars. This is a really big deal. A lot of dealers will simply not be able to operate without much financing. Which brings us to the second point in the tweet. According to the official website, U.S. Auto Sales, they have temporarily closed all 39 of the dealerships. Folks, pay attention. Attention, U.S. auto customers. We have temporarily closed our dealerships and are working on a solution to reopen them as soon as possible. But don't worry, we aren't going anywhere. U.S. Auto's affiliated loan service company, USASF Servicing LLC, is still open to accept your payments and assist in servicing your account. Please continue to make your payments as scheduled and reach out to us with any account questions. So, U.S. Auto's customers, they're buying these through the U.S. Auto affiliated service company. We're no longer going to finance inventory, but you got to make your payments anyway, please. Hopefully, U.S. Auto Sales will be able to secure another source of floor planning financing, but that may not be easy in this environment. Another major chain, American Car Center, suddenly shut down more than 40 dealerships in February and has now filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy. American Car Center, the Memphis-based used car dealer, which suddenly closed all locations in February, has officially filed for bankruptcy in a Delaware court. According to federal court records, the company, also known as RAC Dealership, LLC, filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy in the Delaware Bankruptcy Court on March 14th. Sadly, this is probably just the beginning. A lot more dealerships are likely to go belly up as we get deeper into the economic downturn. And as economic conditions deteriorate, financial institutions are likely to get even tighter with their money. Which brings us to Wells Fargo. Apparently, the bank really is giving the axe to all junior auto underwriting staff. Wells Fargo is laying off all junior auto underwriting staff. As of 4/27, any auto sales greater than 110% loan to value and 50% payment to income will be declined. For more than a decade, the U.S. economy operated in an environment in which money was flowing like wine. It was really easy for everybody to get credit. But now, even officials at the biggest banks in America are openly admitting that the credit crunch had begun. The credit crunch stemming from the fallout of Silicon Valley Bank had begun, with data showing clear tightening of lending standards by banks, according to Morgan Stanley's top stock strategist, Mike Wilson. In a note on Sunday, the Morgan Stanley CIO said that the last 2 weeks have shown the steepest decline in lending on record as banks scramble to offset the breakneck pace of deposit flight which accelerated in the month since SVB failed. Let me repeat that. In a note on Sunday, the Morgan Stanley CIO said that in the last 2 weeks have shown the steepest decline in lending on record. Did that sink in a second? As banks scrambled to offset the breakneck pace of deposit flight, which accelerated in a month since SVB failed. The data, now, by the way, have you heard anything about this on the news? Have you heard that banks are not lending, putting out very little money now because people are pulling their money out? Have you heard that on the news? I don't think so. The data suggests a credit crunch has started, Wilson said in the note, adding that $1 trillion in deposits had been withdrawn from U.S. banks since the Federal Reserve began raising rates a year ago. There's no possible way to spin the steepest decline in lending on record to make it sound good. Repeat that also. There's no possible way to spin the steepest decline in lending on record to make it sound good. Our economy runs on mortgages, auto loans, and credit cards. And so a dramatic reduction in lending will inevitably lead to a dramatic reduction in economic activity. As been said on this broadcast and many others for a long time, we have been a consumer society. We produce very little. We manufacture very little. We consume. So again, the paragraph says, our economy runs on mortgages, auto loans, and credit cards. And so a dramatic reduction in lending will inevitably lead to a dramatic reduction in economic activity. A lot of people are comparing this new crisis to what we went through in 2008-2009, because that is only a downturn in recent memory that is comparable. Unfortunately, I'm entirely convinced that this new crisis will eventually greatly surpass what we experienced during the Great Recession. Not 2008-2009, the Great Recession. So I would encourage you to do whatever you need. Well, I guess that was 2000. I'm sorry, that was 2008-2009. So I would encourage you to do whatever you need to do to get ready for harsh economic times, because what is ahead is not going to be pleasant for any of us. I don't know how anybody put it in clearer than that. I think he did a great job laying this out for us. We all, A-L-L, all, you, I, everybody, have run our lives on borrow and credit. Oh, yeah. Borrowed money to buy a house. Borrowed money to buy a car. Yeah, we've all done that. Because not very few of us can afford to pay cash for anything. You see, there was a time in this nation where cash was what everybody paid with. If they didn't afford it, they didn't buy it. They waited to save the money up and buy it. But because we've been prospering so well, we won't keep up with everybody else. We need this, we need that. And maybe we don't need it, we just want it. Don't worry about it. We'll go to the bank and take out a loan. We'll pay it back in installments, and we end up owning it eventually. But when the banks will no longer lend the money, how are you going to purchase another car if you need it? Even if you need it, not just want it. How are you going to continue to make these transactions when the credit dries up? Now that the housing market is going underwater, people lose their homes and can't even pay their rent, what's next? You see, folks, we've been playing a game of Russian roulette in this country since at least 1964 and beyond with the fiat currency. We played it pretty well for many years. We managed to cover our tails and do this and do that and save the economy, keep everything going on credit, on credit, on credit, on credit, just like our government's been running everything on credit. That's why they're somewhere around $40 trillion in debt right now, and more that we don't count the derivatives. They're too big to count. So we run everything in our personal lives. We run our governments on credit. Now we're running out of places to get the credit because the dollar's no longer accepted. Nobody wants our credit. We sold our credit before. Now nobody wants it. And soon those that we are producing things for, so we can no longer produce ourselves, everything from clothing to cars. We make very few cars in this country, folks, that are all USA made. You know that. Very little appliances or anything are made in USA any longer. Very little. We can't make it ourselves. When the dollar is no longer accepted, we won't be able to purchase it either. Even the food we buy in most stores today are imported from other countries. We no longer even feed ourselves. So what's that mean when you can no longer get food and goods in because nobody wants the dollar? People, all I can say is, I love you, I'm telling you the truth. Payday is here. for a nation that's lost their mind on credit. And it's going to affect all of us. Back at the break, folks, a lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
All right, folks, we're back into this in Financial Survival, and the Melody's number is 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. I've said this on this program at least 100 times. Call and ask some questions. Whether you have a few hundred dollars to spend, or just $100, or maybe a few thousand, call and ask Melody what you should do with it. I say this humbly before everybody out there, because I know my finances, and I'm certainly not anywhere near a rich man, but I'm still eating good. So I got a place to sleep, because it's wise enough to pay attention to people like Melody and Bob Chapman many, many, many years ago. Call her and ask, what can you do? Don't spend that extra $500 on a gun or a vacation right now. Put it in something of value that you can keep for the future. Take a vacation closer to home. Do without that new whatchamacallit you're going to get. And I know that sounds silly. Quit eating out, maybe. Quit going to movies. Put that money back to purchase something of value. I'm just telling you what I had to do over the years. No, I wasn't always the most popular person around the country, especially in my own home sometimes. I couldn't do certain things. But now that my wife and even children see what we've done, they appreciate it. Now, another hit on the election fraud that happened between Biden and Trump in 2020. Now, another hit on this. You know, Fox News just paid a huge, about a $790 million fine. And we're seeing This happened again. Mike Lindell's firm told to pay $5 million to prove Mike wrong election fraud challenge. Were they wrong? I can't say that. I truly believe the election was rigged. I truly believe that, but I do believe Obama also. But if these people had the proof, they should have brought it out, because now it's costing them. MyPillow founder and prominent election denier Mike Lindell made a bold offer ahead of his cyber symposium he held in August 2021 in South Dakota. He claimed he had data showing Chinese interference and said he would pay $5 million to anyone who could prove the material was not from the previous year's U.S. election. He called the challenge Prove Mike Wrong. On Wednesday, a private arbitration panel ruled that someone did. The panel said Robert Zidman, a computer forensics expert and a 63-year-old Trump voter from Nevada, was entitled to the $5 million payout. Zidman had examined Lindell's data and concluded that it not only did not prove voter fraud, it had no connection to the 2020 election. He was the only expert who submitted a claim, arbitration records show. He turned to the arbitrators after Lindell's management, which created the contest, refused to pay him. In a 23-page decision, the arbitrators said Zidman proved that Lindell's material unequivocally did not reflect November 2020 election data. They directed Lindell's firm to pay Zidman within 30 days. In a statement to the Washington Post, Zidman said that he was really happy with the arbitrator's decision. They clearly saw this as I did, that the data we were given at the symposium was not at all what Mr. Lindell said it was, he said. The truth is finally out there. Zidman's attorney, Brian Glasser, said the panel's decision stands as a warning to others who have made wild allegations about election fraud. I think the arbitrators thought it important in these claims to be vetted because they've done great harm to our country, he said. Lindell said to the text of the Post, they made a terribly wrong decision. This will be going to the court. The attorneys did not reply to request seeking comment. Okay. I agree with Mr. Lindell. I do. I agree with him. But if you have the proof, show it. Don't just talk about it. Show it. If you're going to make accusations, have the proof in your hand. Folks, this is so vital. That's called integrity. When I do my own radio show or when I preach in church or teach in church, I have the proof in my hand of what I'm saying, whether scriptural or historical or current facts. That's why I do the Bible study part of our ministry entitled Christian Worldview News. I have the facts in my hand, or I simply will not present it. I'd have to be an idiot not to be able to back up what I say. It's called integrity. Once you lose integrity, you have nothing left to build on. And I see this, folks, happening so much with Fox now, with Lindell. Something has got to be done, or those who try to be a whistleblower in the future, they're going to be laughed right out of society. I believe they're right. I really do. But you got to see the proof. You got to have the proof of this. That's all there is to it. Now we'll move on. Disney and Meta prepared to eliminate thousands of more jobs. This year, 596 tech firms have laid off 171,308 workers. The list is anticipated to expand, with Meta Platforms Incorporated initiating job cuts today and Walt Disney Company preparing to reduce its workforce by thousands in the coming week. According to an internal memo seen by Bloomberg, the Facebook parent company told managers they should prepare for job cuts on Wednesday. The memo states that jobs across Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, and Rowdy Labs will be affected. The move to reduce headcount by at least 10,000 positions at the company was outlined by founders Mark Zuckerberg's goal of a greater efficiency earlier this year. Another round of job cuts is expected next month. But the economy's booming. More jobs than ever. Jobless rate is lowest it's been since 1950s. That may be very well true, but I covered that, I think, yesterday on this broadcast. It may be true. Maybe they are people working, but they're working two or three jobs to make they become close to maintain their lives that they were doing when they worked for other companies. So is the economy booming when people have to go to work shoving a broom or flipping hamburgers two or three different places just in order to keep the thing going? I wouldn't call that a booming economy. I call it people struggling to pay the bills, what I call it. Now, maybe y'all don't see it that way, but I see it that way. Tesla. Now, folks, I didn't have the article in front of me, but I just read today that somewhere around 14-15%, only 14-15% of people in this country are considering an electric vehicle. About 85% of people are smart enough not to fall for this. Well, Tesla's seen the hurt. Tesla cut U.S. prices for sixth time this year ahead of first quarter results. No one wants to buy them. I certainly am not going to buy one. Tesla cut prices for some of its Model Y and Model 3 electric vehicles in the United States. Its website showed late on Tuesday that the sixth time is as low as U.S. prices this year amid concerns about the effect of its profits margins. Tesla, which is due to report January through March quarter results on Wednesday, cut the price of its Model Y long-range and performance vehicles by $3,000 each, and that of its Model 3 rear-wheel drive from $2,000 to $39,990. The Elon Musk-led company that has cut U.S. prices of its base Model Y, or base Model 3, by 11% so far this year, and that of its base Model Y by 20%. Moves that come as the United States, its largest market, prepares to introduce higher standards that will limit EV tax credits. The company also recently lowered prices in Europe, Israel, and Singapore, as well as in Japan, Australia, and South Korea, expanding a discount drive and started in China in January to spur demand. Yet Tesla, early this month, reported a 4% sequential rise in deliveries in the first quarter, much less than the 17.8% sequential rise in the fourth quarter. Maybe, perhaps, this rollout of electric vehicles will be slowed down because people don't want to buy them, period. I don't know. We can only hope so. We can only hope that American people have enough sense not to fall for this scam to save the planet with these electric vehicles, which will, in the long run, use more energy than gasoline and fossil fuels ever dreamed of. Oh, yeah. You check it out for yourself. By the way, how are they going to make electricity? They found out that wind and solar aren't doing it. So how are they going to make electricity to make enough electricity to fuel these fires? With fossil fuels, obviously. Or they don't care. They don't want to charge them. They won't put you in a 15-minute city where you have to walk or take a bicycle. You can't go any further than 15 minutes away anyway. You won't need to. You live in a sustainable community where you have everything you need within 15 minutes of your home. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, this is not an accident. It's happening just as you want it to happen. Gradually, very gradually, and with very incremental steps, they're taking down a society a piece at a time. We all know about the, of course, the border crisis. Well, this maybe didn't know. Article entitled "Trojan Horse: Why Are Thousands of Chinese Men Suddenly Crossing Our Border?" Vast numbers of Chinese citizens are illegally crossing our border with Mexico. The U.S. Border Patrol is able to apprehend some of them, but thanks to the Biden administration, once they are processed, most of them are given notices to appear, are then freely released into their communities. Now, folks, I tend to believe that most of these, a lot of these, have got cells to go to. I don't mean jail cells. I mean cells of groups in the country to maybe to put back in case or when China attacks us. Maybe. That means they're running around without any supervision whatsoever. As you will see in the series of video here that posted this article, men make up the overwhelming majority of the Chinese citizens that are migrating across our southern border, and almost all these men are of military age. Isn't that strange coincidence? In some cases, these men are paying human smugglers as much as $35,000 to get them into Texas. So either those men are independently wealthy or someone else is providing that money. Oh, think about that. were subversive in the Chinese government that want to take down America? Fund these men coming here for a purpose? We've got to think beyond, folks, what people want to think. These people could be sending here to set up an inside force until when the time comes, we hit from the inside to the outside. That could be, right? Unfortunately, most Americans don't even realize that this is happening because Fox News is the only major news network that is giving much attention to this crisis. For years, many of us have been warning that the lack of security in our southern border is a major national security threat. Unfortunately, it could turn out to be a much larger threat than any of us ever imagined. According to Fox News, the U.S. officials are seeing, pay attention, a 900% surge in encounters with Chinese nationals at our southern border. We've never witnessed anything like this before. In 2022, a total of 1,987 Chinese nationals were apprehended along the southern border. As of March 30th this year, folks, 3 months into it, a total of 4,293 Chinese nationals had already been apprehended along the southern border so far this year. We're being told that they are coming here because they want American freedom. Okay, if that is true, why didn't we see similar numbers coming over in previous years? Just as the U.S. and China are getting ready to fight a war, all of a sudden we are witnessing an exponential surge in Chinese nationals coming across our southern border. Yeah, that doesn't seem suspicious at all, does it? People, we got to get our heads out and breathe some fresh air. We got to understand this is not happening by accident. Please know that's true. Please. China may have to may have up to 6 more illegal police stations in the U.S. after the FBI shut down Manhattan outposts used to spy on and harass residents. Okay, now. I just don't know what to say about this. I want to read this article. Then we'll take a phone call. China may have up to 6 more illegal police stations. We knew about this 6 months ago. We reported on the broadcast. Why didn't they act on it then? After the FBI arrested 2 men in connection with a Chinese secret police station in New York City, activists say there are as many as 6 more other similar illegal outposts across the U.S. In addition to the Manhattan outpost that was shut down on Monday, Chinese police operate another station elsewhere in New York City and one in Los Angeles, according to New York Post, reports citing the advocacy group of Safeguard Defenders. As well, the Madrid-based group has identified so-called overseas Chinese service centers that purportedly provide community services in San Francisco, Houston, Minnesota, and Nebraska. While it is unclear whether these outposts are being used as clandestine police stations, Safeguard Defenders noted that Chinese security forces often use nonprofits and community groups as a front to spy on and harass dissidents overseas. Probably even way beyond that, I would say. I truly would, sir. We're seeing a 900% increase in illegals coming across from China, and now we're seeing set up police stations? Interesting. Let's take a phone call. Let's just talk to BK right here in West Virginia. BK, come on in.
Hello, Pastor Butch.
Hey, BK.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Oh, God is good.
Amen. No argument with that. What's on your mind?
Did you know every product in the USA must have a country of origin label except for beef and pork?
I did not know that.
Yeah, the USDA rolled back country of origin labels in the Obama era for beef and pork. It all means that the beef and pork is imported from other countries and packaged in the United States.
Wow.
Meanwhile, 95% of high-quality U.S. beef is exported to other countries.
We got suckered again, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Hey, folks, I would tell you buy from local farmers. Find someone who you can buy eggs from and produce from and your beef from. Buy that from local farmers. They're out there. Look for them. Go ahead, BK.
Yes, they are. Hey, this thing about boycotting Bud Light and all the anger, I think it's great. I mean, I hate them. I hate all that transgender garbage.
Amen. Hey, hang on through the break, BK, okay? Hang on through the break. Folks, back at the break, a lot more to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back, and again, we're good to get with us today, and this is Financial Survival. This is Pastor Mitch Paul, filling with Melody Cederstrom today. She got trying to get caught up on some work, and I admire her for that. Melody's not lazy, folks, I promise you. Totally honest, above board, and straightforward. Her number is 800-375-4188. We're taking a phone call, which is very seldom ever doing the broadcast. Nobody ever calls us. We're talking to BK from right here in West Virginia, just about a half hour south of me. BK, come on back in and finish your thoughts.
Yes, sir. I was just saying how great that boycott of Anheuser-Busch is.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's exciting also to see Disney have to lay off thousands of people, too, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Did you see, Pastor, what Donald Trump Jr. said?
No, I don't think.
He said, the Anheuser-Busch company was too iconic to continue boycotting. Here's the deal. Anheuser-Busch totally crapped the bed with this Dylan Mulvaney thing. I'm not for destroying an American icon company for something like this, he said. Well, I am. How about you, preacher?
Absolutely. I'm going to shut the whole thing down. You know, that sounds harsh, but my friend, you heard me read the gay manifesto on the R Broadcast last night. You heard me read that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Because we kept silence, this has happened. So, no, I'm not silent. They should shut it all down. They should be not only shut down, but sued for destroying the minds of our youth.
Amen. And Anheuser-Busch is like America, hijacked by globalist forces. Anheuser-Busch is owned by AB InBev out of Belgium. Donald Trump Jr. is a moron. The CEO of InBev is from Brazil, Butch. And I heard this Republican say, boycott Anheuser-Busch and support a company who's not woke. He said, trust me, I know the Coors family. They're conservative Republicans. Drink Coors beer. Oh, really? Molson Coors boasts a history of supporting LGBTQ across the country going back to the 1990s. Coors organizes pride marches. They're one of the first companies to offer same-sex domestic partner benefits. Molson Coors won Corporation of the Year by the National Gay and Lesbian Commerce in 2015. Coors Beer supports the Matthew Shepard Foundation, the Gay Athletic Association of America, Alton Equal, and LGBTQ Victory Institute. Now, Pastor Butch, do you think this is a symbol of the betrayal, BS, and lies that we've been fed as a nation and a people?
Well, when you have a man run for president again that the Christians fall in love with and compare him to Christ, who said he's more pro-queer, he said gay, than Hillary before he got elected the first time, that should tell something, shouldn't it?
Blasphemy.
It is. It is. Thanks for calling, BK. Good points. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right, folks, right back to the news. But he made some good points. I have no problem. That was a great phone call. I agree with him 100%. I have no problem with this at all. Maybe a little bit. Not at all. Now, problems economically, folks, are hitting about every country in the world, including Canada. Massive strike hits Canada as inflation discontent spreads around the world. The mushroom cloud of the central bank monetary destruction keeps growing and is increasingly fueling discontent among workers whose standards of living are eroding along with their purchasing power of their wages. Europe has already seen a wave of strikes aimed at securing inflation, offsetting pay raises. Now it's Canada's turn. At midnight, more than 155,000 Canadian federal government workers went on strike in what's being described as the largest walkout against a single employer in the country's history. Now let me repeat this one thing. 155,000 Canadian federal government workers. The federal government is the biggest employer in Canada. The strike was called by the Public Service Alliance of Canada, a union which has been in negotiations for a new contract since 2021. This strike primarily encompasses two groups of federal employees, 120,000 at the Treasury Board and 35,000 Canada Reserve Agent, Revenue Agency. So I guess I'm like the IRS. With some 200,000 total members like these, PSAC is clearly a heavyweight government employee union. Now, folks, let this sink in. These are government employees on strike for more money. Union reps for the Treasury Board employees have been asking for a 13.5% pay hike over 3 years. The CRA staffers want an immediate 9% pay raise and 20.5% over 3 years. The PSAC also wants the government to curtail contract work and make remote work more broadly and uniformly available. I don't know what to say. 155,000 government workers, federal workers, want to strike for more wages. And I understand the money's tight. I do. But every time you give a federal worker more money, somebody's got to pay for that, folks. Somebody's got to pay for it. You tell me who you think that is. Let me be real bright people tell you. Stop and tell me who you think that is. Who pays for government workers' wages? Oh, they pay taxes too, I'm sure. But the bulk of what they get paid is not paid by them. It's for people like you and I. That's so in Canada or any other nation. So, no matter how you look at it, folks, the taxpayer gets shafted again, which means you pay out more money with less coming in, or they print more fiat currency to make it look as more prosperous and inflate more of the wages. You figure it out. WIPO belatedly admits proxy war nature of Ukraine conflict in wake of leaks. Below is how Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin responded when asked by the Washington Post whether Ukraine conflict is a proxy war. I'm convinced it is. We'll go further. This is a war of choice by Putin, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in an interview. We're not in a war with Russia, and we won't be in war with Russia. It was Russia's choice to begin with. But then WaPo points at the obvious. That may be true, but the administration has given Ukraine more than $40 billion in military and economic aid, along with real-time targeting assistance and sophisticated weapons and systems on which it has trained Kyiv's forces. The report also highlights a trove of Pentagon leaks which give an inside view of the war well over a year ago, showing also that despite long-running White House denials, there are actually U.S. Special Forces on the ground in Ukraine, and they've likely been for a long time. Also, after a longer-running CIA covert program, the Kremlin and even some U.S. domestic opponents of the Biden administration, foremost among them Donald Trump, who has been referencing a proxy battle, have long considered what's happening to be a proxy war aimed at defeating Russia. As early as a year ago, Lloyd Austin was explicitly saying its U.S. policy to weaken Russia is supporting the Ukrainian cause. I call that a proxy war, wouldn't you? Now, all along, WaPo and other major U.S. sources have actively fought against the proxy war label, yet now, in the wake of the Pentagon leaks, the Post is belatedly reevaluating based on the newspaper's following definition offered. When Ukraine has become a proxy war between great powers, has itself become an intellectual and political battlefield. The word as a dictionary definition, a person or entity authorized to act for another. More popularly, it has become to mean sending someone else to do your own dirty work. In this vein, the American conservative last year declared that's Washington's plan to fight Russia down to the last Ukrainian. The professor who teaches about proxy war, I can tell you, those who deny the Ukraine war is a proxy war are just wrong. The debate is between those who use a standard definition and pro-war ideologues concerned advisement would undermine their agenda. It's a proxy war. There's no doubt about it. The U.S. and NATO are doing their best to undermine Russia any way they possibly can and weaken Russia. That's why they tried sanctions, which didn't work. Actually, Russia has prospered quite well, despite the sanctions that NATO and we put on. Matter of fact, the sanctions hurt us, U.S. and NATO, much worse than hurt Russia. Think about that. Get ready. Taiwan civilians train for Chinese invasion. Is this all just smoke? No fire? Is this all just maybe propaganda? There's nothing really happening there? Maybe this is all just a scarist? You figure it out. Physician Lin Yung-Ting has taken time out of her weekend to learn civilian defense tips she can relay to her young children in case China invades self-ruled Taiwan. There are no weapons, just vital training on how to react to China's hybrid warfare. The classes are part of a growing Taiwanese urgency to be ready for a worst-case scenario after seeing the Ukraine war from afar and enduring two rounds of Chinese drills in the past year, including exercises at the end of last week. When there's a possibility of a war, I think we should get prepared, said 45-year-old Lin, who was attending the Kuma Academy's classes in Taipei. Being on the front line isn't the only way to help, she said, adding her eight and 12-year-old children should know what to do in a crisis. Kuma's instructors offer practical tips on evacuation preparations, such as finding the nearest air and raid shelter and what to pack in emergency go bags. But they also focus on disinformation about what Beijing invasion would look like, countering claims of 1,000 missiles raining down on the island or 50,000 ships landing on the shores. So now the civilians are starting to get a little bit concerned. I think that's rightfully so. I don't know whether China's going to invade or not. I don't. But with all the rhetoric between us and China and us and Russia, us and Syria, and more, something's going to pop sooner or later. It really is. And we all know what happened in France, what was going on over there. We know that the government decided to raise the retirement age by 2 years from 62 to 64, and the people didn't like it. They went on strike over it. Well, this is the answer from Macron. The answer is, no. Chaos continues in France as President Macron defends his hated pension reform program and refuses to U-turn it despite admitting it had not been accepted. Emmanuel Macron tonight admitted that pushing France's retirement age from 62 to 64 had not been accepted, but said there will be no U-turns following the weeks of strikes and rioting. The embattled president appeared on a pre-recorded nationwide TV broadcast on Thursday evening, 3 days after his controversial pension plans passed into law without a parliamentary vote. "Is this reform accepted?" asked Mr. Macron during a 12-minute address. "Obviously not. In spite of months of negotiations, no consensus was reached, and I regret that." He said he heard the anger of the French, adding, "No one can remain deaf to it." President Macron said there was anger at jobs, which for many French people no longer allow them to live well, in the face of rising prices of fuel, shopping, and canteens. "There's anger because some have the feeling of doing their part, but without being rewarded for their efforts, neither in wages nor in effective public services." But insisting there would be no change in the policies, Mr. Macron said the reform was necessary to guarantee pensions and produce more wealth for our nation and for France to stay in line with European neighbors. Within minutes of Mr. Macron's speech, illegal protests were underway as riot police fought to restore order. A crowd marched through the public area of Paris chanting "Macron resign" while lighting fires and smashing windows. There were similar scenes around Hotel de Ville, Paris City Hall, where another illegal protest formed. Some banged casserole dishes as traditional means of showing the anger in France, while others threw projectiles at police. And folks, that spread not only through there, it spread through the nation. People are tired. They're tired, folks. They're getting fed up. Time for one more article here. I think this interesting and sad report on. We all know that Chicago elected a worse mayor than they had before. One worse than Lori Lightfoot, folks, is hard to imagine, but they did. The new mayor-elect said, "Don't demonize them." Chicago's new mayor-elect said it's not constructed to vilify group rally teens that torched cars and rampage organized on social media, but condemned the chaotic takeover. Chicago's mayor-elect said the city should not demonize the teens who organized a teen takeover of the Loop over the weekend, even after the event turned violent with cars burnt, and minors shot. Brandon Johnson, 47, said Sunday he does not condone the destructive activity and that it's unacceptable and has no place in Chicago, but it should not be used in a way to vilify the group. However, it is not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved of opportunities in their own communities, said Johnson, a progressive Democrat. How many times have we heard that? They were born poor, they had parents that didn't love them, and they had to do without for so long, so they're entitled to this. I mean, they may not be right, but we have to accept that they're trying to speak out and lash out because they're frustrated and angry. It was their environment that did it. That's what caused it. It's how they were raised. And a part of that's true. How they were reared has a lot to do with it. I was reared in a situation, if I didn't smack him, my daddy would tan my butt. I don't care if I've been 18 years old, he still tanned my butt. He probably would still been tanned it. I was raised in a place where you worked what you got. You didn't sit around complaining about you when you went to work. Yes, we were poor, folks, growing up. I remember now, looking back on it, we were very poor. But we didn't whimper. We went to work. So that's what you do, folks. Now, if you want to call Melody, I wish you would, 800-375-4188. And I will see you again tomorrow with Melody tomorrow. Have a great night. Good night.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me on.